I'm going to talk about predicting imported fire ant population density at a field level today. And I'll jump right in here. There have been a number of previous studies on this question at different scales, on a global or continental scale, to answer questions such as how far might these ants be able to invade into different areas, and what areas might they be able to colonize, and on a smaller scale to answer questions ranging from what sorts of habitats support them on a statewide basis down to how do individual colonies interact with one another in small fields. The goals of the work that I'm currently involved in are to first of all identify factors that influence density of fire ant populations on a field scale, examine transportability of models relating landscape metrics or habitat characteristics to fire ant density and distribution, that is to see how well models developed in one area apply to other areas for predictive purposes, and ultimately to develop inexpensive GIS-based tools to predict areas of maximum population density. And this is to benefit stakeholders, in particular other government agencies that are interested in survey or risk assessment. I'm going to discuss some work we did in 2006 in Oklahoma, near Bee, Oklahoma, which is near Lake Texoma, where the fishing is great, and that was purely by accident. This is a sheep and goat farm with no prior history of fire ant management. We sampled 1/10 hectare plots on a 100-meter grid for the initial study. These were sampled in April 2006. We measured the mound dimensions for every mound encountered within each plot, and later on went back and sampled social form. We determined social form for 3 mounds per plot, and I really should acknowledge the tremendous assistance of Meg Allen and Kathy Smith back at Stoneville, who helped with that. What you're looking at here in this aerial shot, in the red plots, we encountered only monogyne mounds. In the orange plots, we encountered mixed populations. The green plots represent polygyne populations, and the white plots are no ants, no fire ants anyway. We looked at a number of potential predictive variables in this multiple regression analysis. We looked at insulation and watt hours per meter squared for 3 different times, at the time of sampling, during the summer solstice, and during the winter solstice. We looked at various characteristics of the lay of the land, aspect, slope, and elevation. We looked at canopy cover expressed as a percentage of cover over each plot, distance from water, distance from trees, a simple vegetation index to measure plant vigor on the ground, and we also looked at social form, which can also be a dependent variable depending on what you're looking at. Point out some results from this study looking at percent polygyne mounds here over number of mounds per plot and cumulative mound volume per plot. The most interesting thing about this result, if you look at the plots that had a very low percentage of polygyne mounds, they ranged in cumulative mound volume all the way up to the maximum that was observed in the study. So in monogyne areas, you may not have a lot of mounds per plot, but the cumulative biomass of ants is pretty similar to what you see in these areas that are dominated by polygyne fire ants. So to sum up those results, monogyne colonies were strongly aggregated in low areas with high vegetation density, which I think is very interesting. But in a more appropriate model where we took spatial autocorrelation into account, elevation and vegetation were not significant. I still think that might bear further examination. Social form was more closely related to mound density than cumulative mound volume. This means that cumulative mound volume is a better measure of ant density across areas, regardless of social form. Looking at mound density here, you're looking at monogyne, primarily monogyne plots, plotted as circles, mixed monogyne and polygyne as triangles, and polygyne as gray circles. Looking at mounds per plot, percent canopy cover, and insulation at the time of sampling. And the general trend is that as percent canopy cover goes down and insulation goes up, you get more and more fire ant mounds per plot. Not surprising. And it does break down pretty well among monogyne, mixed populations, and then polygyne mounds. But there's a lot of variation there as well. So to sum that up, the best model to explain mound density was insulation at the time of sampling, canopy cover, percent polygyny. Those 3 variables explained about 34% of the variation in mound density. Polygyny was the most important variable, followed by insulation and canopy cover. Looking at cumulative mound volume, I've plotted this as a contour plot. The brighter values indicate higher values for cumulative mound volume, and it's plotted over percent canopy cover and summer solstice insulation, which was the best fit variable for insulation in this model. Obviously, at high insulation values and low canopy cover values, you get a lot of mound volume in these plots. But also, even at low insulation and low canopy cover, you get pretty high populations. And even under fairly shaded conditions, if insulation is sufficient, you get high populations. And that's just a visual representation of those trends. The best model to explain mound volume was summer insulation, elevation, canopy cover, distance to a cistern. There were some cisterns present in the field. Distance to water, meaning ponds, distance to trees. And that model explained about 42% of the variation in cumulative mound volume. Canopy cover was the most important, followed by insulation. All other variables had fairly subtle effects. Mound densities, or mound volume rather, was greatest closest to water. And we do have some evidence that soil texture explains some of the variation, but I'm not talking about that today because those results were based on old soil maps, and the spatial accuracy of those maps is in question. So just a quick look at transportability. How does what we've learned in Oklahoma translate to looking at fire ant populations elsewhere? And we're also going from looking at red imported fire ant populations in Oklahoma to mixed black and hybrid populations at our sampling sites in Mississippi. So we sampled three similar sites in Mississippi. All of them were cow-calf operations. Social form has not yet been evaluated at the Mississippi sites, so we could not examine that in this preliminary look. And log transform cumulative mound volume was dependent variable for our models. When we looked at a multiple regression analysis across sites, Torrance is essentially a special case. It's fairly flat, very high mound densities across the field, so there's not a lot of variation in some of the things we were looking at, like insulation. But if we look at three of these sites, here's the original Oklahoma site where a two-variable model included summer and canopy as the most important variables. There's some commonality here with one of our sites in Mississippi. Summer and canopy comes in here in the ranked analyses, and in Woodland B. And all of these were significant. So just to take a look, we combined the data from the three sites and came up with a combined model to see how well it would predict fire ant populations. And this graphic, this is an aerial shot of the Woodland A site in Mississippi. And the post plots here are, the plots are sized according to the cumulative mound volume either predicted by the model on this side or actually measured on the ground on this side. There is a tremendous amount of variation, but in the prediction model, high population densities are predicted in these areas, and that's pretty well borne out here. You'd have a good chance of finding a lot of fire ant mounds if you sampled in those areas. Relatively low populations predicted in this area, which basically faces northeast. Low populations observed in that area. And the model misses the boat in some instances as well. For example, over here we predict high population densities but observe very few ants. But in general, we think that looking at insulation over large areas in preparation for sampling would definitely increase your chances of finding a sufficient number of mounds, or mounds if they're actually present in that area. So some ongoing work includes looking at soil texture and soil moisture in these models. Sampling soil texture actually on the ground within the plots, parsing insulation into times of day. For example, does insulation early in the morning affect populations, or is it more advantageous to the ants than afternoon insulation? Those sorts of questions. Examining scale, we'd like to go back and look at these sites and devote a great deal of time to quantifying fire ant mounds over the entire site so that we can alter the scale at will in our analyses. And gathering additional data, and I'm always interested in talking to people if they want to be involved in this, contribute data, or look at a specific area of interest. So my email address is there, and with that, I'll take any questions that you have.